September 25, 2021, it's the Walk for Pete Rose Show. Walk for Pedro Show, happy Saturday. Started the show off with Afro Blue live at Salle Player, Paris, July 28, 1965. John Coltrane. Sorry for butchering the French language. Well, I'm equal opportunity language butcherer, so, and I don't mean to do it, and especially my mother tongue, but yeah, I'm short on a lot of skills, people. Then, 8-Pop, brand new, Freeway Brawl, which is kind of a, used to be a SoCal thing, but yeah, the whole country's into it now. Crazy ass shit. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I have an incredible privilege to have aboard the 8-Pop Cats. Are you in Highland Park?
We're in Montecito Heights, which is near Highland Park.
I got a kind of an idea. I mean, you're like 30 miles north of Pedro, but
right.
I think, because Paul, I'm trying to think, when the double knot spy car had me aboard in that pad, and I thought that was either Echo Park or it was Highland Park, or I can't
that
remember
was,
exactly.
That's Echo Park.
Okay, so a little close, okay. And I remember it was sweaty.
Yeah.
We had a good time. It was a jam. Yeah. It was improvised jam. You made a record with lots of different cats, kind of your own version of a wrestling record in a way, and it was very, very generous of you. All you guys. And then later we got to do a share stage at McCabe's and with my second man. Now let's get at the matter of hand, though, the 8-Pop, because it's a new project. Now, Paul sent me an email a couple months ago. Said, hey, I got this new project. And he sent me a press release. And Paul and fellow band members, if you were in person, and instead of handing them that press release, how would you describe 8-Pop? Not that's just what the band is, but you know how it got together and the history of the members. You're a power trio, right?
Yeah, it's a power trio that's heavily augmented by our mad scientist and drummer Sean Norse. You know, we always liked each other's playing. We actually first played on a children's music project we have called Earthworm Ensemble. Rick Alonzo, our bass player, played on it, and I'm like, that guy doesn't play like anyone I know. He's got a really unusual style, so I was quite intrigued. So we talked about jamming for years, and we finally got together, and it just clicked. We relate to the way each other play, even though we have very different styles. So we decided we're going to make it a purely improv project. So that's been our method so far. We just make it up from note one and see what happens.
Your press release says more than that.
I've only had to read that motherfucking thing.
That's why I was saying, if you were like face to face with some cat and you had to, like, you know, let me ask you this. It sounds like you were the, even though you guys were connected, you were the motivator. You were the, you know, get it going, or?
No, not really. Sean's more the mastermind.
That's good to know, because I'm working on the mind reading, but I'm going to.
He's also more awake than I am.
I'm trying to tell you. I'm working on the mind reading, but in the meantime, I'm going to have to use words. So I don't know about this stuff. You're going to have to enlighten me using language and words. When I get that mind reading thing solved, fuck it. I won't even have to have the show, right? I'll just put the show in people's heads.
It's coming.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, Sean plays all kinds of drums. He's played with Dwight Yoakam and pretty much every Americana band in Los Angeles. And I have a pretty eclectic background on guitar. And Rick hasn't played in tons of bands, but he's a very serious student of the instrument. He studied, who's your mentor, dude?
Oh, Max Bennett.
Oh.
Who, Max was a one-off. His background was in jazz, and then he transitioned to work in the studios, and then he had a chance to start a band. So he and Tom Scott started LA Express, and they went on to do albums with Joni Mitchell.
Outdoor player, right? Tom Scott.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a Baker Gervitz Army? Ginger Baker had a band with him for a little while. He ended up on a lot of fucking also theme shows in the TV, right? Beretta and shit. That's him and right. David Sanborn,
Yeah. Both those guys were first call session players, so they did a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about a sax, and there's something about a back bass.
Something about a sax.
And there's something about a bass cat, Aiden and Abette, and a sax cat bringing it. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm slayed by it. I just love it.
And some of the frequencies overlap because they're both kind of like the human voice.
That's why they don't let them in the fucking symphony, right? Oh, the timbre's wrong. Oh, you fucking dick. Look. I'm a little prejudiced this way, but what kind of bass?
Well, I still have my first P bass and
was your first bass a P bass?
Yeah.
Yeah, bitchin'. What kind?
It's a 1973 blonde white Picard, and it's all original.
Okay, 70s. There's two kinds, huh? Three bolt or four bolt?
Pre CBS.
Well, no.
It is four bolt. It is yeah. Four bolt.
Because there's 71s, even though they got that little tilt adjust, you can yank those fuckers out of tune because of three bolt. Yeah, not a good. But and also 70s has got some. They were mixing up woods. That's way after the CBS thing. They're getting ready to sell it again. So, but I'm interested. Yeah. Do you remember your first gig where you worked the bass in front of folks?
I do, actually. It was very traumatic for me because I was.
We call those pants shitters.
That's a man. I should have worn my brown trousers.
Okay, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
So I was fresh out of Jersey, where my only experience with music was my dad, who was an opera singer, and me sitting in the basement listening to Zeppelin and Pink Floyd.
And him singing.
Yeah.
Great gig in the sky.
That was exactly what I was dreaming about. And so I, still smelling of sandalwood incense, picked up the bass when I was 19. And after I've been playing 6 months, I'm at the Cuckoo's Nest in
Costa Mesa.
Yeah. And punk was going off.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about that stage. That club, you had to bring your own mics. So me and D-Boom, we only had this little Radio Shack tape recorder thing. We taped to a cymbal stand, but their grounds were fucked up on each side of the stage. So we got all sweaty and shit and arced, but between our noses, knocked us both on our backs. I was murdered. But, you know, like this, man, we lived to tell the tale.
I remember the shocks. I mean, that was among the many reasons for the brown trousers.
So tell me about that gig.
And one of the first shocks to me, apart from that, was I had no idea that standing on a stage on a big riser acted like a giant sound box because we'd always practice in a garage.
Right, it's a resonator.
Yeah. So I hit a note and like, this is nothing like I experienced. And, you know, as a bass player, you hit those big notes and you're like, holy shit.
Yep.
This is an amazing instrument.
It is.
And
it's the big, so, you know, people say four-string guitar. Bullshit. It's four-string drum set. Timpani and kick. Leave a little tom.
Well, that's true. I'm glad
you agree with that because these other motherfuckers, instrument. They just think that looks is everything, right? It's practice. It's how you work it.
It's how you work it. And I guess you have to look good while you're working it.
That's what the brown pants are for. Look, Paul, you gave me this directed mutagenesis. Let me play it.
It's a fact, and that's all it ever was. You can scream at the sky, crying to know why, and the only ever answer is because. It's not that I would ever try to hurt you. Just dancing, but I'm clumsy with my feet. I may practice every second of every single day, but sometimes I will still miss a beat. But that's okay, because it's the way that this song goes. It must be, because it's what I just heard. To pretend that it was ever any other way is denial bordering on absurd. And maybe I just haven't been listening as you moan about the weatherman, how everything he said could be a wild guess, but it just doesn't agree with your plan. But that's okay, because today it is sunny. It's freezing cold, but you can't have everything. My lips turn blue in the cold morning dew as I stumble to work what I think. And maybe I just haven't been listening. I've been dancing in the corner over here. You can talk, you can dance, you can scream at the sky. I just wish you would live without your fear. And maybe I'm just asking too much. I live with my own fear every day. I worry and I shake and I cry and I deny. And then I sit up and pretend that I'm okay. And yes, I haven't been listening. I've been dancing. I hope that that's alright.
Aqua Pedro Show. That chunk of music started with Ape Pop doing directed Mutagenesis. Then brand new from P. Kane out in D.C. area formed. Beautiful album, Brother Pat did. Ben Lee out of Australia, but he lives, I think, in Nevada. Or maybe Hollywood Hill. Ben Lee featuring Sad 13 with Born for This Bullshit. Yes, you were born for those hills. I think he's touring in Australia right now. Los Remedios out of Barcelona with Divan. Brother Milo from Chile. He's got his own studio. And so I'm so glad fucking musicians have their own studios. That's so bitching. That's more and more that happens. Toy Mango, Ithaca, New York, 6 out of 8. There's going to be a party when you die from... No, that's the name of the band. Not Listening is the song. I don't know where they're from. But they got inside my ear hole. And then finally, Ape Pop, Don't Touch That Screen. Don't Touch That Dial. Ah, nowadays, yes. You updated that. Yeah. So, would you call that gig a success?
I would.
Okay.
It was mind blowing because I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't know that rednecks would be fighting with punks in the parking lot
because of the chump, that steakhouse next door.
Yeah, Zuby.
They shared the parking Zuby. Lot. Yeah, and so yeah, especially after getting all fucking borracho and shit, right?
This is my first gig, and so I invited my parents. And I got to tell you, it's one of the life's weird experiences when you feel protective of your parents.
Yeah. Understood. And I didn't ask about the aunt.
In those days, I was playing through a PV head. And
hey, Minuteman, Minuteman, I was through a PV 400 with 215s.
Yeah, this was a 215s. I think it was an Altec Lansing, and it was one of those things that weighed like over 100 pounds and had a handle in the middle. So you know, it's the hernia handle, we call
it. The suitcase, the nutcase. Fucking, what was people thinking, man? Dudes who actually didn't do gigs, Mississippi Marshall's peeves. Like Paranoid Time and to the first couple ones. I'm going through one of those things. But I look at it like, did you use fingers or a pick then?
Fingers.
Okay, I used pick. Punk was too fast for me, so I had to use pick until there's one song on Double Nickels. That's when I left it behind. But I wish I could do both, you know, because it's all vocabulary. Yeah. Now, what about songwriting? Were you writing songs that early? Did you write on bass? Because I think that is the future of the bass, not really 10, 12, 18 strings. I think it's going to be a composition tool. And I would like the drums, too. You know, Chico Hamilton couldn't get songwriting credits. So one of my crusades is to get rhythm sections out there fucking being the composers to set up the launch pads, to set up the springboards.
You know, damn straight.
The writing that I do is with these two guys. And
these guys, it's your cherry gig, right?
Well, it's my cherry gig in the sense of actually coming up with tunes that feel like they're a statement and not just a jam.
Okay, good point. They got a focus. They got an anchor. They got tent stakes.
It feels like, you know, like human thought captured in notes.
I like that. You're painting a picture in my brain. I'm thinking
that's
of those.
What those does.
Well, I'm thinking of those caves in France with the. You know when people say keep it real, you know. I can imagine the first cave painting, and the dude says to his partner, "So what is it? Oh, that's chromium zinc. No, man, that's a fucking horse." Yeah, keep it fucking real. Arch used to transit. You know, John Fogerty, born on a very northwest bayou, right? Near Berkeley or somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right? It's a ticket. Pumped a lot of pain. You know what? It's an abbreviation for propane. There was no hurt. The big wheel is on the river. I had that song so fucking wrong for so many years. The only thing, you know. these cats, Black Humor, up the city maybe 40 years ago, had this record. And there's a line where the guy goes, the only thing new is you finding out about it.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, let's talk to Sean a little.
So propane?
Well, you're going to pump a lot of propane. Yeah, because he's working on there's a lot of fuel in Louisiana and shit.
Oh, man.
Gasoline.
I thought he was like heroin or something.
Me too. Something, the drug reference.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Well, maybe it's propane. Yeah, yeah. I like that.
Well, the thing is, if you look at John Fogerty, he puts all his words up on his site, and he's got a little fucking apostrophe before pain. And it's spelled P-A-N-E, not I-N. French.
There you go.
Bread in French. Hey, let me talk to Sean, the stick man with the beat in his hand. How'd you get on the fucking drums, Sean?
How'd I get on the drums?
There's an echo here.
I saw Pat Benatar in the 80s, and I saw Myron Grumbacher was the drummer for Pat Benatar, and he was a real animated, interesting dude, and he danced around the drums between the songs and played the endings real like a wild man, and he drew my attention, and I thought, man, that looks like a lot of fun. That guy's it looks like he's really enjoying himself.
That reminds me when I saw Golden Earring, right? They had the big song,
yeah.
Dutch guys who sounded like The Who, The Radar. But they don't play that till the end. All the rest is like Prague. The fucking singer pulls out a flute and shit. But when they get to that tune, at the end, the drummy jumped off over the singer. It was a weird mix.
Wow.
Schmaz in the wrestling world. Yeah. So go on.
So that was just my impetus to want to do something like that. I thought, I want to drum. And so I got interested and I got lessons kind of right away. My mom was kind of like, well, if you want to do that, maybe let's get some lessons. And I had a great first teacher, and he, you know, turned me on to some music that I probably would have never crossed my radar, which was big band music from the swing era.
And I saw Louis Belson, the inventor of the double kick.
Right. He took me to rehearsal bands down toward the beach. There were these old retired guys that used to get together weekly to read dance band music of their era. And, my teacher said, hey, why don't you sit in on this one? This one's called, Stardust, and just play brushes, just stir the soup. So he showed me how to do that. And I read the chart and all these old guys started, you know, saying, hey, you want to do a casual? You want to do a wedding? And so I said, yeah. He goes, okay, it pays $50. You know, show up here and wear a nice suit, wear a tie, and we're going to play all this old music that, you know. And I learned all that music, and I fell in love with that music. And those old guys were real sweet. And that was kind of like my intro to drumming, you know.
What about your first kit?
First kit was a Pearl Export.
Peter Chris, Pearl.
Set, but
Peter Chris.
That's right, Peter Chris. my first concert was Kiss, 1979.
We saw them five times. Me and D. Boone saw them five times before they had an album out. They would open up for anybody. And I remember the album came out. It was so fucking slow.
Which album is that?
The first. I said first.
Oh,
album.
Kiss Alive.
No, it's just called Kiss.
It's just called Kiss.
Yeah, Kiss Alive's the fourth
I
album.
I thought Kiss Alive was the first.
That's the fourth album.
You're right.
Look, this is about you, not me. Go ahead. that Pearl kit. What was the first time you brought that? That first time you brought the Pearl kit in front of people at a gig, like the cherry.
Oh, in front of people.
Yes.
Wow. Gosh, first gig. Probably the talent show at high school. So, okay. You know, we learned, Turning Japanese. You know, we learned that song, covered that song. And I don't know who did that song. I remember
a little
the
new
artist,
wave.
But
a little wave. You were waving it.
I was waving it, man. That's my era.
Was the gig a success? Any original material?
It was a big success. Yes, yes.
Did you win the contest?
I don't think it was a contest, but I think we were the main act to the show, and okay. we were the ones that and the girl that was singing, it was a girl actually that so there was a girl singing, there was a guy, but the girl sang another song which I don't remember. It was a some ballad song, and she was the highlight.
Hit me with your good shot. Yeah, it's a Pat Benatar all over again. You know those old guys, Sean.
That's right.
I think those old guys, Sean, really did you a favor. Because they kind of
they
busted down the hatch. It says fucking genres rule. Music is music. That's the bottom line. And I was worried.
You got it.
At the beginning of the show, Paul said something about Americana, and I was like, oh my God, genre rock. We're still in the gulag. We're still got the Berlin walls in our brains with that shit. It had to take the movement and a crowbar to get it out of my fucking life. So those old guys, what a gift.
What a gift.
And we're kind of missing that now, right?
They used to tell me
rock and roll had to be marketed to young people, so it wasn't like you could play with older people anymore. Even though we got 80-year-old Rolling Stones now, so maybe it's that things will change.
Yeah, it's different now. It became maybe the marketing thing was always a thing, but I wasn't aware of it. These old guys didn't talk about any of that. They used to talk about seeing Gene Krupa, his silhouette. Was on the stage backdrop, and when they were growing up, they were like young kids watching Gene Krupa and telling me crazy stories.
Anita O'Day went to jail because he got caught with Mota. She helped him out there. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, September 25, 2021. This Wap Peter's special guests, 8 Pop. Hold tight for hour 2. September 25, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start the second hour. 8-Pop doing Destination Earth. Then we had If Moana. Margolis, Chester, New York. Klorg. That's a title. And then 8-Pop of Desert Flowers. That's delicate. Kind of. Right? Unless they're on a barrel cactus. Or what the one? What are those motherfuckers with the big old spikes and shit? Like, that's why these motorcycle guys wear, like, catcher shin guards. Because, I can't. The Alzheimer's working on me. I can't think of these motherfuckers, man. Oh. Anyway, songwriting process. First. What was the first 8-Pop prac like?
That was,
It was Desert Flowers.
Desert Flowers.
Just kind of got together, didn't talk about it. We just kind of started playing, you know. Paul kind of has a way of coming up with something to latch onto, you know. It was pretty. All you know, it started pretty from the get-go, you know.
Yeah. So, the traditional role, right? The guitar guy brings it in, and then, you know, bass player and drummer make it a song.
Yeah, we just kind of fell in, and it made sense.
Well, you know, you got them roles. They're like in cement and everything. Everybody, you know, no, but it is beautiful. And Paul, did he ever do slide with you guys, lap steel and shit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, yeah, bitching, yeah. But yeah, that's
it. Yeah, it's the other instrument.
A little related.
Did we track with steel live?
I think Don't Touch That Screen is steel.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Well, I'm...
You never know.
I want to get before that. I want to get in the composition stage. I want to know how 8-Pop songs come together out of jams.
I think Rick put it well. It could be described as a jam, but I think we had agreed going in that we're going to try and make music. We are composing, and it is, I guess what happens is you're like, okay, this has to sound like music right from the start. So I think you're slightly more careful than just wanking or whatever. So you're trying to come up with a theme. And then the other two guys are also responding with a structure rather than just, you know, trying out a new riff or something. It's you're trying to compose a piece simultaneously. So you're listening to each other very carefully, too.
That's what I was going to say. By saying careful, you mean you're listening.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
That's what Nels Klein taught me. When you know, he brought out 36 pedals. I said, what's your favorite one? He says the volume. And you know, Jimmy had the guitar upside down, so he fucking palmed that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Whammy too, like that. Microtone, totally. Right? The bone. It was a bass clef, but it was on the way. And Rick, I called you Ron, and I'm an asshole, and lo siento, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
You know.
Thank God we processed that now.
Okay. Get the brown trousers. look,
you know,
this, go
it's
ahead.
It's a conversation among
that's
us.
Right. That's what you, that's the goal, right? And the three guys come together.
And
practice.
I remember I was living in a house with a really gifted jazz piano player, and he said, why don't you come and sit in? And these are sidemen that used to play at Blues Alley in D.C. and, you know, with all these iconic players. I have no business being here. He goes, just play. So I started playing. And I begged the guys, please just play blues. And we're like, you know, 2 seconds in off the deep end. And I realized everything I played that I felt was wrong, they were turning into music. And I couldn't believe how dynamic it was. And it was like a conversation among adults who were really supportive. And I never knew music could be that way. It didn't have to be a regimented thing where everyone's got knows their place and has to do their thing.
Right.
And you know,
jazz has lots of blues. Listen to Cousin Mary.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
That's working the flat third, the whole. It's all about cross-pollinate. Maybe. If we're lucky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Percussion
discussion. You know this tune Mr. Mingus wrote for Mr. Roach, right? Percussion discussion. Right?
I don't know that one.
Well, that's why I invited you on the show.
No, okay. No, that was bullshit. That was bullshit.
But I'm glad I got the opportunity to turn you on to that.
I knew there was going to be a lesson here somewhere.
Okay. Look, I want to play House of Mirage.
Thank you. the VIP.
walk for people.
The dog goes to where the funk is.
Okay. Because the nose knows. Ape Pop with House of Mirage. Northern Jaw with Subsidies. VIP live at VOV 2013 from Head Bobble. Mirrors. Old Dayton, old Cleveland scene. God, the Velvet Underground, what, 23 gigs there? Most time they ever play. And Bob Quine taped, I think, every one of them. Incredible guitar, man. I don't know if you're hip to him, Paul, but it was Dick Hell, Richard Hell and the Voidoid. Big influence on D. Boone. And then finally, Ape Pop with Frequency Location. So I want to know how, tell me how House of Mirage came about.
We've been playing for hours. We've only gotten together, I think, three times. And each time is a marathon recording session. And when we leave, we don't know what happened. And then we start hearing tracks coming from Sean's, you know, big dark cauldron where he stirs stuff up. He's stirring up the soup. And we're like, holy shit. Like, we did something, you know, because you don't always know that you made something until you hear it, you know, later. It's a really
I've heard of that. the process of, for example, Miles Smiles on the Corner, right, where they do the big old jams and then it's editing work? Or do you guys use it as like the idea storyboard kind of trick? After a while, find the good, like Steely Dan, right? Walter Fagan and Donald Becker have these really good musician guys jam for hours and find that one fucking lick that's going to be peg.
That's part of it, yeah. Curating stuff, you know, finding the stuff that makes sense. And it's a process. Add some Moog.
Yeah, it really is two very almost diametrically opposed things, just very free-form playing, channeling, whatever you're all channeling together. And then Sean, it's very much the opposite. It's almost like the way modern, you know, pop music is produced. It's, you know, you're basically dissecting it and rearranging it for, you know, to maybe to enhance what's already there. But
Paul, can I can I suggest a parallel? What about a ceramic guy? He's getting the fucking clay. He put it on the wheel. That fucking thing turns into a mug.
That's right.
That's crazy. We were just talking about ceramic mugs. I'm not kidding. And we had a detailed conversation about ceramic mugs right before you called.
Okay, but the idea of that, you got some raw material, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
when you
yeah,
bring in that.
Then you shape it.
Okay, you know, you said that word pop, which popular, right? Pop is Latin for the people, right? Pop, Vox Populi.
Yeah.
People's what? So it's part of your band name, too. So there is a sensibility.
Yeah, we want it. We want it to be pleasing to people's ears, and maybe even a kind of traditional sense, a not so avant-garde sense. We want the melodies to be pleasing and the textures and with an arc to it, you know, so it goes somewhere. Kind of what traditional pop songwriting values are, but in very disguised by the fact that it's made up and we're taking a lot of chances, but we still want it to sound like pop music in a strange way.
Or strange meaning they could tell it's fucking ape pop when they hear it.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
D. Boone said something to me early in the band. He goes, look, we can play anything we want as long as it sounds like the Minutemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. T-Boom was like that. Like, punk is what he made this thing, the skater. He made a sticker out of it. It was an interview. He goes, you know, punk was anything we made it to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Punk and Pedro met a guy who got fucked in jail for cigarettes. We could not believe that people would call their music saying this. So we just thought that's, you know, the creator gets to define it, put it out there. You don't have to chow it, but at least, you know, there's no fucking gatekeeper, some filter, some sanitizer or insanitizer. Anyway.
Exactly.
So let's get back to the original question. House of Mirage. It came out of all these jams. Then Sean gets the jams and starts distilling.
I think, yeah, finding the stuff that I'm kind of attracted to. I don't know if that's good or bad. Sometimes it's not so good, but that one I think had kind of worked out. And
I love it. That's why I asked you about it.
Thank you.
I love it. And look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 25, 2021. Just Watt Peter's a special guest. 8 Pop. Hold tight for hour 3.
Put my watch.
September 25, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. night.
Oh.
Black Beagle Show started third hour off. The year that disappeared, a little topical here, Ape Pop. Then Lucas and Bella, Buckled out of Sydney. And then this is from Paul. Now, Paul also wrote me because he had another record. In fact, more recent, I See Hawks in L.A., which has been going around a long time. And that was On Our Way. Now, Paul, what do you want to say about I See Hawks in L.A.? I want to play a couple more to you.
Well, yeah, it's been 20 years. Sean was the drummer for many years. We stayed in many squalorous hotels and lost sleep and political arguments on 20-hour van rides. You know, you might be familiar with all that stuff, but we put out 10 records of Americana. I mean, Americana is where rockers go to die right now, but it used to be kind of a legitimate category. You know,
man, I just gave that big fucking preaching country diatribe on genre and shit, and you got to dredge that motherfucker back up. Okay. But, okay, I see. I didn't know you guys had common ground with Sean. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was wondering, Paul, if Ape Pop is kind of a reaction to your experiences in I See Hawks in L.A.
Well, in one way, the Hawks are very structured. I mean, it's really traditional songwriting. The songs come first. And so, you know, also being a guitar player, you sort of restrict yourself. Oh, well, I have to play a B minor here. And A-pop does definitely represent total freedom. I mean, the song comes from the playing rather than the playing supporting the song. But, you know, both methods wind up producing music. So, it's a release from, you know, more conventional sounding projects. So, I guess it could be a bit of a reaction.
Are you, the thing that's strong about country is the songwriting thing, right? Being able to sing a song, tell a story. You know, what's his name? Leon Payne? A blind guy?
I know the name, but
okay,
I'm
a blind guy, he had a blind wife, and someone took him to see the movie Psycho. But of course, they had to tell him, right? And he writes this song. You know this, and Eddie Kovac had a... Kovac, that's a comedian, right? Or is that... No.
Yeah.
It's the trippiest fucking song. Because it puts you in the moment. Because all these traditional things come up, you know, and you know, like when you hear the first Noel or what the fuck, right? No. He's in the moment. You got to pay attention. And maybe he's having a goof and it's a joke kind of thing. But there is a craft to writing a fucking song. But I thought Ape Pop was trying to write songs. You just guys were trying to come about it out of an improvised birther, incubator.
Yeah. We're thinking melodically and phrasing and... I think the one other thing is the sort of rule of improv, like if it's, you know, improv actors, if someone does something, you must respond to that. You don't ignore it. You don't fight it. Whatever they do, you build on that. And I think that's a good, that's an important element of Ape Pop. If Rick plays a cool lick, Sean and I are going to make that the foundation of the next 2 minutes worth of music. So, there's a shared destination, I guess, even though we don't know what it is.
Well, no, the destination is to make another tune for the A-pop band, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And how do you know when a tune's done, Sean, or Paul, or Rick, all three?
When Paul talks me off the cliff.
there's the way the song ends, which God knows. I guess we get tired.
You know, you said something about political argument. Is it possible to dream by committee?
Oh, that's a good question.
Wow.
You know what? I would say yes, because one of the things I think we would all agree on is you do enter a little bit of a dream state if you're really communicating with each other and making it up on the spot. Time gets very altered. Like, you might play for 22 minutes and it seems like 4 minutes, or vice versa. So yeah, I think it's a collective dream might be a good way to put it.
Okay. But can you have three guys on the rudder? Somebody's got to be the keel, man. Somebody's got to be bow. Somebody's got to be keel. Somebody's got to be rudder. Sometimes you got to piece it out, right?
No, we had, there's three rudders.
Man, you're going to be doing some loops. The Architecture Asia. Yeah. This is my favorite I See Hawks in L.A. song.
How'd it go?
The Architecture of Asia. The Architecture of Asia is jumping off the pages of my mind.
Architecture
of my mind.
Of Asia.
Of my mind.
Architecture.
It's like a glorious behind. It ripples with time. In Asia, oh, glorious.
Muslim architecture is fucking.
Oh yeah, it's insane.
Check it out, Dubai,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I just want to say, check out the Muslims. Check out the Muslims.
Everyone's doing it. We might as well, we're behind.
Okay, Paul. Want to try my blend?
Oh, all right.
This is
I shouldn't tell, but one look in your eyes, and I guess it's just as well. Ain't no heaven, no burning hell, just a boat across a troubled sea with no fortune to tell. The only worry for kids like you and me, don't let them nail a star to the bottom of the sea. Boy, ain't no hero I don't wanna be, but I don't mind running if you'll stay, you'll run with me. Fire across the hills, and I'm lying in bed with the fever and the chill. Down in the city, we're all getting played, and outside my window, I hear a strange parade. Never thought the world would come a knocking. Maybe that's just the news talking. Ain't no hero I don't want to be, but I don't mind. It means that you'll stay with me, stealing, stealing, stealing. Sober. Come November, we'll remember. January, we'll get married. March will bring the perfect weather. April flowers, shower flowers. We gotta learn to live together.
For Pedro Show, the last music for this edition, The Architecture of Asia, I See Hawks in L.A., and then Pochinam Riga Ziku, which is former Yugoslavia, Croatia. No, maybe, what's the one next door? Slovenia, yeah. And in English, that's I'm Starting to Puke the Wire. And live at Club Coca Split 2015, which is Dalmatia, right? In South, Spoleto, I think, because the Venetians ran that. Yeah, it's, humans are fucking weird. Trobakova Kushna Pesci. And then finally, I See Hawks in L.A. was Stealing. So with Sean and his memories of those old guys, I'm not going to say the genre, but this idea where you take traditional songs, like Mr. Coltrane with Chim Chim Cherie or My Favorite Thing, and reinvent it. What's your take on that? All three of you.
And how it pertains to A-pop?
No, like...
kind of improvisational aspect.
No, yeah, and then also, like, I see Hawks in L.A. doing what Paul was calling a traditional... I'm not going to use that genre name, but... The idea of using the traditional song as a starting point, and then you fucking turn it inside out, or whatever, you make it your band, yours, not yours, yeah, right. Yours as a group. That's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, that was the big band era that I talked about with those old guys. that was the foundation. You know, we played the old tunes and of course everybody's soloing and so that kind of is creeping back into the way we're talking about creating a pop music now. It's the improvisational thing. We don't necessarily have a standard kind of theme going in, you know, the theme kind of develops on its own. I think from, like Paul said, the interacting with one another, and it just kind of evolves out of, you know, nothing, just inspiration.
Yeah. Who goes first?
It depends.
Well, the one tune you said Paul did.
Yeah, I think Paul usually starts a strange sound or something.
Desert Flowers. You said Desert Flowers.
Oh, Desert Flowers. It's in particular. Yeah, I think it was a melody. He started with the melody, and then Rick, me, and I just kind of fell in, and it you know, heard the phrase, you know, kind of play out, and it evolved. And Rick's really quick at you know, going to the right place. You know, he can kind of. I don't know how to say that any better. I don't know.
You
know,
you said it well. You said
Mike,
very
one
well.
Of the things that.
Thank you.
One of the things that I love about playing with these guys is they allow me to fully embrace all my wrong notes and imperfections. And
notes you don't like. There's no wrong notes.
Notes that I don't like, or where my time isn't textbook perfect, and I've always heard that, you know, that sort of
honky tonk woman. You know how slow honky tonk woman starts out, and by the time they're at the end, that's like a choo choo.
Yeah, that's true. That's
come on, it's real life. We're not cuckoo clocks. No. What you're talking about is being about is being awake. And that's where real music comes, being awake, you know what I mean? You're not sleepwalking, you're not just connecting the dots. That's what I like, it's in the moment, right? When you guys get the next 8-pop album together, will you come back on the show, please?
Oh, we would love to.
Love that.
If you'll have us.
And I'm going to talk about every fucking tune like this, because we don't have to go over the background shit, right? But I'm out of time now, and I got to get up to Hollywood. Thank you so much. Very big honor to have you.
Thank
on
you, Mike.
And talk
thank
about
you, Mike.
These
thank
are heavy. You, these are very heavy things for me. I think they're important. So thank you for really enlightening me. People, it's been right September 25, 2021, the Dishwat Pedo Show. Keep your powder dry.